We're on a big topic this morning. Before we get into it, thank you to Andrew and Sherry for leading us in an awesome time of worship this morning. You notice we have a church service. We don't compartmentalize it. The whole thing is a worship service. It's a flow. So when the kids go out and the young people go out, they're going out under the anointing of being together with God's people in praise and worship. And some of the feedback I've been receiving lately has been phenomenal on the openness of the children to the Word. And even an impromptu sermon in one of the sessions from one of the leaders one Sunday. And the questions and the depth that the kids are coming up with from the Word, it's because they're being taught the Word, but they're also together in anointed worship. So everything flows. That's why we're doing the service the way we're doing it. It's to usher in more and more of the presence of the Lord. Today we're talking about renewing your mind. And we're still in our Freedom in Christ series, and our main scriptures throughout the series, two of the many main scriptures. The first one is our theme for the year. And let's get it up, please. Have I put it in? Yep, there we go. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The whole Freedom in Christ course has been a truth encounter. We have encountered truth. It is a discipleship course. It helps us in our progression in our life with Christ. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the mind. The mind is an important part of our being. You know, there's no such thing as a mindless Christian. You should not be encouraged to not think as a Christian. In fact, I'm of the firm belief that Christians should be the best thinkers on the planet. But not just thinking. Thinking Jesus' thoughts, which leads to Jesus' action. Let's look at the next verse. You've heard this every week from me for the past 9 weeks. I make no apologies for the Word of God. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's precisely what we're looking at today, being made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We've seen in our series so far that a lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. And sadly, and the sad thing is that many people believe a lie of the evil one. And it affects their life, and it affects their walk with the Lord, and it robs them, and it steals from them the intensity and the joy and the fullness that the Lord has for their lives. Today, we're talking about renewing our minds. Now, when we give our lives to Jesus, our spirit is made new. Jesus comes to live in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But our minds remain the same. And there needs to be a connection between our spirit and our mind. And we need to renew our minds. And as we've seen in the Freedom in Christ course, there are certain responsibilities in our walk with the Lord. Some of the things God takes responsibility for. Some of the things God and us together as a team take responsibility for. For instance, worldwide evangelism. We partner with God in that. So it's God's responsibility and it's our responsibility. Certain things God gives us the responsibility for. And this is one of those areas today where God gives us as his children the responsibility. It's like he says, over to you. It's like he's done it all. He's completed the work on the cross. It is finished, he said. The work is complete. And now it's over to you when it comes to the mind. It's like the Lord says, here we go. Here we go. You're going to be on a journey. Who wants to be on a journey this morning? I need a volunteer, please. Peter looks like a volunteer this morning. Come up here this morning. Here we go. There's the journey that lies ahead of you. It's actually up the pew. So humor us this morning. Thanks. And the Lord has saved Peter. And now we need to be made, yes, hallelujah. And now he needs to be made new in his mind. So how does he do that? the Lord has given us? His word. To reprogram, to recalibrate our minds. So, yeah, it's a backpack full of the word. You go, and you go renew your mind. Go for it. Thank you, Peter. And he's running his race. Isn't that perfect? Thank you very much. Let's give him a big round of applause. So the Lord, the scripture says, and we'll look at it a bit later, has given us everything for life and godliness. He's given it to us. Like I gave Peter this bag representing the word God has given to us. He's also given us everything for life and for godliness. So whose responsibility is it to get on then with it then? It's ours. It's ours. The devil's greatest weapon is a lie. Let's look at that scripture, John 8:44. You know it well. Calls him the father of lies, a murderer. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So our minds have been filled with lies. Where do those lies enter? They enter at any given time. A friend of ours had to help their primary school daughter, who came home from school, looked herself in the mirror and said, "I don't like what I see." And the mum didn't just say, "Oh, that's rubbish, you look like your father, none of us like what we see." She did the right thing. She sat down with her daughter and she said, "Why do you think you need to change your appearance?" Because a boy in my class told me I have a flat nose and I need a new nose. "Do you think your dad's handsome?" "Yes, I do," she said. "Well, you've got your dad's nose. You created beautifully in the image of God." What a great message to an 8-year-old little girl. Where a lie came in, but the mother brought a course adjustment in the mind. We've believed lies for years. Many, many, many years ago, we are told that they believed that the earth was flat. So they didn't venture too far out, just in case they fall over the edge. A lie. I know we still have the Flat Earth Society, but let's move on. For some reason, my brother, when he was a little boy, liked to stick out his tongue at people. I don't know if any of you have ever had kids that do that. And outside church one day, I remember my mother lying to him. Bless my mother. She's a woman of truth. But she said, "If you continue to stick your tongue off, it's going to stung out, it's going to fall off." He didn't stick his tongue out again. But he believed it as if it was the truth. Yeah, or you cross your eyes, and if the wind changes direction, they're going to stay like, you've heard that one. Yeah, okay, we believe it like it's the truth. And the enemy plays mind games with us. How does he play mind games with us? The first thing the enemy does to play mind games with us, he loves to imitate what God has done. He imitates. Anybody's into fashion, you know, you get all these brands. I'm not really into fashion, as you can see, but supposedly, and I've been told, you get all these brands, but you also get the fake. You know, when it comes to school bags and there's a certain brand, my kids know what is the real and what is a fake. You know, don't try to give them the fake that costs £2 on eBay. They know the difference. And this is what the enemy does in our lives. He imitates. He comes along with a cheap replica, which is only filled with stuff that will harm us. Very often, like cheap replicas in today's world, filled with chemicals and stuff that can harm us. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So he walks around masquerading. He's quite bold and arrogant in it. He could be in a meeting like this, and he could be masquerading as an angel of light. And it's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be their end will be what their actions deserve. Again, God's God of justice. So Satan has servants who also go around and they look like amazing people. But they're masquerading. Inside, they know. In their mind, they know what they are doing. You see, Satan pretends. He pretends to be something he's not. He masquerades. He takes something that is evil and he makes it look good. For instance, our world has gone crazy about love. I mean, they say the whole love revolution was in the 60s. Well, I think the love revolution's back on. People looking for intimacy. And Satan sells the world a lie that's found in cheap imitation of what God originally designed for us. If you love me, you'll sleep with me. A cheap imitation of what God has planned for every human being. We all crave intimacy with God, don't we? Satan has cheap imitations. Religion, lists of rules and regulations. Having a form of godliness, as the Apostle Paul talks about, yet denying the power. So Satan comes with a cheap imitation. The next thing he does to play mind games with us, he deceives. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion. Did God really say? Satan works through lies, and his lies are usually suggestive. He suggests something, and then it feels like you've come up with the bright idea. And that's why deception, as freedom in Christ, the Course has pointed out to us, is such a difficult thing, because people who are deceived don't always see that they're being deceived, because they're living in deception. And from the Course, I quote, "The battle is for our minds. Our minds have been conditioned by the world, influenced by Satan, the puppet master behind it. So we've developed a whole host of default beliefs and thought patterns that don't match up with God's word. In other words, they're not actually true. For much of our lives, our belief system has been shaped by our enemies. In other words, we've absorbed a whole load of lies and half-truths that affect us. When we became Christians, no one pressed a delete button up yet. We still have the same old default programming, those same old thought patterns, or what the Bible calls the flesh." And still quoting from Freedom in Christ, "Taking hold of our freedom is essential, but it's not enough. Now we need to change the default thinking if we want to grow as disciples. We need to replace it with what is actually true. The key is renewing our minds." So how do we renew our minds then? In the next 10 minutes, we're going to look at how do we renew our minds. So here we go. Number one, recognize that the enemy lies. You need to be really honest about this. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death." And very often, we don't recognize that the enemy lies because we're living in denial. It can't be. I can't have been believing a lie for the past 25 years. But maybe we have. And how do we find out? When we let our minds be renewed with the Word of God. It's like a whole new operating system is running in our minds. And sometimes our minds need to recalibrate, just like the sat nav on our cars sometimes need to recalibrate. Our minds need to be recalibrated by the word of the Lord. And as the pastor of this church, I really want to encourage us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family of God, to allow the Lord to renew our mind, recognize where the enemy lies, repent, say, Lord, I'm sorry for allowing that entrance. I'm sorry for going down that route, but pick me up, put me back where I should be in Jesus' name. This isn't about being condemned. This is about living life to the full. Amen. So, we recognize the enemy. How does the enemy lie? Let's recognize some of these. He lies to you about yourself. He usually lies to you about your self-worth. That somehow, and when it comes to self-worth, let's be perfectly honest with each other. When it comes to self-worth, it's probably something where you feel you're not performing, and you feel you need to perform in front of somebody to impress them. It's that age-old saying that people, you know, buy things, get into debt, buy things to impress people that don't even like them. When it comes to lies about our self-worth, we sometimes try to perform, to please people, whereas we need to live our life for an audience of one, to please God. And when we please God, we'll be able to deliberately and decisively do the acts and works that God wants us to do. Early on in ministry, back in the 1990s, and I believe the Lord wanted me to do it, I worked 7 days a week, all day, all night. It was for a season. But if I had to be really honest, and the Lord pulled me up on this, a lot of it was trying to be a people pleaser. Do everything to please everyone. And one day the Lord pulled me up on it and said, are you a chicken or are you an eagle? And I said, Lord, you don't make any chickens. I'm an eagle. And he said, well, as far as I can see, my boy, you are running around like a headless chicken. You're off there, everywhere, trying to make everybody happy. And you're trying to balance all these plates of making everyone in the church happy. But it's all going to come tumbling down because you've got your head down on the ground. You've got your head in the soil when you should be soaring like an eagle and going on the currents of what God wants me to do and being deliberate and being decisive. It was a game changer. It was very difficult to change. I had to work at it. I did literally every day, good morning, today I'm going to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. And it brought a difference in pastoral ministry, but it also brought a difference into my personal life because I was set free. I was no longer a chicken in a chicken hawk, bound by the fence of what others expected of me. God set me free to be the man, the person he called me to be. But it was a big renewing of the mind. I had to get rid of old mindsets first. Our self-worth. My worth was based on what people thought of me. I can't change. That's a big lie, the devil. You can never change, which leads to passivity. Well, then I can't change. I'm going to do nothing about it. And then we usually say, but this is, you know, the way God made me. It's my personality. Well, maybe we just need to read the truth of the matter again. You know, when we say we can't change, it leads to shame, it leads to guilt, and it leads to resignation to whatever the enemy wants to do. The truth of the matter, with Jesus in us, we all can change. Another lie we believe about yourself, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. And then what happens? The walls go up. We build walls around ourselves, and we don't allow people entrance into our lives, and we don't enter other people's lives. How else does the devil lie to us? The devil lies to us about the meaning of life or happiness. For instance, lies about our happiness or our security. You need more materialistic things. You need more money. And then what do people do? They end up hoarding and they never feel they have enough. If we believe that kind of lie, it will affect and damage our potential in the kingdom. Another lie people often believe is lies about being a whole person. that they need a significant other in their life. I've heard it many a time. You've probably heard it many times that people say, I'm not married, therefore I'm not complete. But who completes us? Marriage is not a completer. Marriage is a multiplier. You are complete in Christ, whether you're married or you're not married, whether you're single, whether you're divorced, whatever you've gone through in life, you are complete in Christ. Marriage multiplies the good stuff about us, but marriage also multiplies our weaknesses. So if we think we need somebody else to complete us, we'll be a clingy marriage partner, finding our self-worth in our partner instead of in God. We are complete in Him. And God longs in marriage to put two complete people together. But just because you're not married doesn't mean you're not complete. God has a plan. For some people, His plan is marriage. For other people, His plan is singleness. And you will know. You will know. Because the truth sets you free to be who God made you to be. See, so the devil lies to us about our happiness, about our meaning in life, about being a whole person. He lies to us about control. I need to be in control in order for my life to be a success. There's plenty of control freaks out there. Actually, all we need, and that's a lie, all we need to do is hand over control to the Lord. How do you know if you're a control freak? Here's a little simple test. If you're running late and things aren't going the way you want it, and you make everybody miserable because things aren't going the way you want it and you're running late, you're probably trying to take control when the control really belongs to God. That's a difficult one. Get stuck in traffic. I need to be there in 10 minutes. Well, maybe the Lord really is in control. And He wanted me stuck because He wanted to prevent something else from happening. A life that's more in God's control. Let's move on. I've got my eye on the clock. You still with me this morning? In our mind, we also realize that there are lies which misrepresent God. And that's where self-righteousness comes in. Where people believe that the more they do for the Lord, the more the Lord will love them. And people become self-righteous. Look at me. And how do we know if somebody is self-righteous? Simple test. If you feel you are the judge and jury on every situation, well, perhaps some self-righteousness could be developing on the inside of you. There, I said it gently. But when you realize that all my righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord, and it's only through Christ that I can stand righteous before the Father. It has got nothing to do with self. Nothing, no sermon I can preach, no prayer I could ever pray could put me in a right relationship with the Lord other than saying, Jesus, save me, a sinner, and come into my life and make me a child of God. That's it. It's a free gift. And we don't live a self-righteous lifestyle, because if you're self-righteous, it's a tricky thing. For some people, being self-righteous, they've got to put up an act. This air, this facade, look at me, I'm so holy. And then behind the scenes, they're not really like that. And some people, that energizes them. That act energizes them. Just like being part of the school panto energizes them. So acting righteous energizes them. But this is where it's tricky. For other people, it leads to burnout because they can't keep up the act anymore. So a lie that misrepresents God. Lies about God not answering my prayers. But God will answer your prayers, but He certainly won't answer mine. I think we've all believed that sometimes. But God answers every prayer. Every single prayer. He hears your every cry. He sees your every tear. Lies about forgiveness. What I've done is too bad for God to forgive me. No, God will forgive anyone who comes to Him. The amazing thing is, grace doesn't keep you low. Grace lifts you higher. It lifts you out of the miry clay. It lifts you out of the pit, and you start living as a righteous person. The lie is that you have a life sentence, or you've got to live constantly in the misery of what the past was about. No, He will set you free. You are no longer what you were, but you are new in Christ. And now, number two, renewing the mind. So we see that the enemy lies. Number two, we see that we've got to resist the enemy's lies. James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We've got to first submit to God. This is it. It's no good resisting the devil, you know, resist, but you're not in a place of submission. When we are in a place of submission, we are hidden in Christ, and then we can resist the devil, and then the devil has no option but to flee from you, because it's not really you he's fleeing from, it's the Christ in you. Jesus in you has all the authority in heaven and on earth. And we need to resist the enemy's lies. We need to draw a line in the sand. And we need to replace his lies with truth. Just like Jesus did in Matthew 4, where the enemy came with lie after lie after lie. You know, if you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. I mean, Jesus was fasting then. If you've ever fasted and you smelt freshly baked bread, I mean, there's almost no greater temptation on this planet. And Jesus answered with scripture, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we do it. We submit to God. We're in his word. We have our minds renewed by his word. It's a pity we don't have an SD slot here that we can slot the word in. But it takes work. It takes effort. If you're not a great reader, I encourage you, read. Just read the Bible, or get the Bible on an app or on a CD and listen to it. And you know, it happens to all of us. It happens to me. So I wake up in the morning, I start reading the Bible, praise the Lord, I've spent time with the Lord, and then what did I just read? Anybody ask yourself that question? What have I just read? I can't remember. Have I spent time with the Lord then? So sometimes I find myself reading it out loud, the scripture, just so it goes in. I know you don't have to do that, but sometimes I have to do that. Just so that, and over and over and over and over again, till it goes in. Because we've got to resist the enemy. Okay, next. We're going to move on very quickly now. So we fight back, not by fighting, but being submitted to God. We resist the enemy's lies. Matthew 16, 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Peter was just being a good friend. Jesus said, look, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to hand me over. I'm going to be crucified. They're going to put me to death. And Peter said, surely not, Lord. And how does the Lord respond? With a renewing the mind strategy. Get behind me, Satan. And that's what we've got to do. When thoughts come our ways, even what people speak out, and I need to say this to you. I think we need to be bold in this, because often people speak out over us what they see or what they feel or what they perceive. Or they talk stuff over us because your parent was like that, you're going to be like that. Father God is my Father, and I'm going to be like him in righteousness and holiness according to Ephesians. So sometimes we've got to be bold enough and say, thank you for your concern, but actually, I'm a new creation in Christ. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, the sickness or whatever you're facing, it's really tough, and really is tough what we face. I'm not downplaying it. You'll probably never get over it. Says who? We are more than overcomers, as Andrew reminded us of through scripture from Romans 8 this morning, through him who loves us. Whatever the enemy throws at us, we can overcome in Jesus' name. when we are submitted to God, resist the enemy, and he flees. And lastly, this morning, we've got to renew our minds. Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What lives do we live as Christians? We live a transformed life. I'm transformed by the renewing of our mind, a truth encounter with God. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you had to work that scripture backwards, it will really show you how important it is to renew your mind. Because it ends off being able to test and know what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect. But if you work it logically backwards, it would say that if we are not transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we will not be able to test and approve what God's will is. We need to be renewed in our mind to be able to do God's will. We need to be renewed in our mind to be able to know what God's will is. It's a mind thing. He's given us his word. We submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So to help us this morning, I've given you something in your updates. It looks like this. Freedom in Christ, my stronghold buster. I wonder if you could take a few moments right now, thinking about renewing our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. What is the lie? What lie do you want to tackle? It's in Freedom in Christ. We looked at comfort eating. They thought of, I'll tell you some of the ones in Freedom in Christ. Taking comfort in food rather than in God is a stronghold that some need to break. Another example they gave us was always feeling alone, the lie that I am abandoned and forgotten. Another example they gave is feeling irresistibly drawn to porn, the lie that you cannot resist the temptation to look at pornography. So there's all sorts of lies that people believe. I want to give you a moment to think of what lie the Lord wants you to tackle this morning by submitting to God and resisting the devil. I've noted some lies in the update as well. Some people feel unloved by God, rejected by God, inadequate, hopeless, and even stupid, believe it or not. And I've put scriptures there that will help you absorb the truth. Then secondly, what effect does this faulty belief have on your life? How different would your life be if you replaced it with what was actually true? So you think about that there. And then your homework, list as many Bible verses as you can to state what God actually says, what is true. And then you pray a prayer. I renounce the lie that I am. And you replace it with the truth. I announce the truth that I am loved and filled with the power of God. And then you read your Bible verses every day for 40 days. Why 40 days? Psychologist tells us it takes 6 weeks to form a habit. So for 40 days, constantly just reading the scripture and receiving the truth. Let's pray together. I hope that's been helpful to you this morning, the teaching on renewing the mind. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray for everyone who desires here this morning to renew their mind. Just pinpoint in our lives lies that we have been believing. Lead us to the right scriptures. And help us to live and believe the truth. And set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And the Lord wants to encourage you, I believe this morning, that you can walk free. He is the God who does the impossible. If you feel something's impossible, He can do it for you. Get renewing your mind, seeing yourself the way God sees you. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, we always give people the opportunity to respond to Jesus. If you have found yourself drifting away from the Lord and you want to return to the Lord, or maybe you've never given your life to the Lord, just three easy steps. A, admit that you need Jesus. Admit that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead. And C, confess that Jesus is your Lord. If that's you this morning, in your heart, join me in this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner, that I'm a sinner, and that I need you, and that I need you. I believe in you, I believe in you. I believe in your death on the cross, in your death on the cross, and in the resurrection, and in the resurrection. Today, I confess that I need Christ. I confess that I need Christ. I hand my life over to Jesus. And I ask that Jesus will live in me by His Spirit. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, quickly slip up your hand. Just take it down again. I just want to keep you in my prayers this week. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Two hands have gone up. Lord, I thank you for everyone who has responded this morning. I pray that Jesus would live powerfully and mightily in these people. And I pray, Lord, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in their lives. And Lord, would you seal their lives now with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.